of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the back.
What we'd like to do on John Stadtmiller's National Intel Report. My name's Ed Waller. I'm going to try and fill John's shoes today with the aid of my fellow North Carolinian, John Ainsworth.
Hello.
This is our normal day to come and visit with the listeners on RBN. So given John's hospitalization, for those of you who don't know, he did have an accident on his motorcycle. Is resting comfortably in the hospital and should be discharged tomorrow, so we hope to have him back maybe sometime next week. Obviously, we appreciate all your support and prayers for John during his convalescence. And speaking of which, we'd love to have any help we can from the listeners on the pledge drive, which continues. Evidently, we're about $9,000 short for this month's stack of bills. Please call RBN at 800-724-2719, extension 116 to call in and make a pledge, or you can write to RBN at 1015 South Mays, M-A-Y-S, Wheat 100, beautiful Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or get on RBNLive.com to get all that information to help us out. We're going to try and I'm in North Carolina. John's up in Maine. And, of course, we're broadcasting from the central time zone out of RBN's facilities. So we're going to try and do this as best we can without actually being on site. We're going to take lots of calls today and get as much dialogue in about all that's going on, whether it be the Supreme Court's term ending and all the confusion that they've created and all the belly aching. Maybe we can bring a little light into why they decided what they did, or some other issues that you might have. So we want lots of callers today with poignant insight into what they think's going on. John, I think you're on with us. Would you like to say hello before we go to our first break?
Well, hello, Ed. How are you doing today?
Well, we're gonna have some fun. You and I have been talking about this for about a couple days since we offered to fill in on our normal time even without John. And since we can't even see each other either, we'll just try and direct traffic as best we can. As I understand it, John has a very following, loyal following to his show, so we're going to try and live up to his ostentatious reputation in conducting his radio program. You're in Bar Harbor, Maine, I believe?
Well, actually, I'm just outside of Bar Harbor. I'm on the mainland. Bar Harbor's on Mount Desert Island, so I'm over in Trenton, Maine.
How far is that from Kennebunkport?
Oh, it's, well, hours, a couple hours north.
Well,
we're about
good.
Two-thirds of the way up. Kennebunkport, the president's place, is way down the south end.
Okay. Well, I haven't been to Maine since I was about 6 years old, so I'm not a geographic expert on that area. But having just returned from a trip to Seattle and back, I feel like I've seen more of the country than I need to. We'll return shortly after this first break and get right to calls. And we also will start some dialogue on some of the research we've both been doing recently and in the past. So come on back for more of the National Intel Report and look forward to your call.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
With all the junk food, fast food, and pre-cooked meals out there, do people actually consume the nutrients that will improve their health? Everyone starts with good intentions. A few pills here, a glass of juice there, but what about an entirely new approach to wellness? What about a brand new market of nutrient delivery? Triathletes and marathon runners often down small packets of gel, providing a timely blast of energy. And why couldn't this exact system work for daily consumption of vitamins and minerals? It can. Through suspension gel technology, our daily nutrients can be taken anywhere, quickly and easily. Think about it. No glasses, no supersized pills, no waterlogged juices, no ineffective sprays and creams, just pure, concentrated nutrients in an easy-to-take, rapidly-absorbed, taste-bud-busting gel. You squeeze in your mouth. A great way to get your daily nutrients. For more information to improve your health, call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055. Or go on the web at together.ws.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
This is the National Intel Report at 8 minutes after the hour. Ed Waller sitting in for John. Jeff in Massachusetts will be with you in just a second. John and I were just talking off air on where to take this show today, and one of the things that is our area of, I don't want to call it expertise, but passion, is status. Been in the movement for years, and everyone talks about status, whether they're a sovereign or whatever term they throw out there. Status is important. And status is, can be defined as your citizenship, the jurisdiction you live in, your domicile. There's all kinds of things that attach to it that define your status. I consider myself a state citizen of our republic, our lawfully created republic, December 18th, 1776, reestablished in 1997. And by virtue of that, I get to be a citizen of the United States of America with all of my God-given, unalienable rights attached. The jurisdiction most people find themselves in and why they create problems is that of a U.S. citizen. And, in fact, I've got some tax returns I've been playing with that have just been turned over to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania IRS office, which is the only office in the country that deals with non-taxpayers, which, of course, any non-U.S. citizen would be a non-taxpayer. So there's a lot of things that go in, are involved in this, ways you get trapped. One of the things I learned in a conference 2 weeks ago was time, space, place, and plane, and we won't go into that too deeply today. We will over the next couple weeks. John, what do you think your status is?
Well, my status, again, I take the vein that you do, that my status is a citizen of one of the several American states that lawfully entered the American Union. And I think that's the status everyone's looking for. This whole movement of trying to figure out what's going on in this country, you know, we look to Patrick Henry and our founding fathers, people of that nature, and say, well, they fought for certain rights against an oppressive centralized government, to where we would have the individuals would have, or the individual states would have sovereign rights that the federal government could not encroach upon. But then here we live in the latter part of the 20th century and the first part of the 21st century, saying that what our founders created or gave to us, fought and died and gave to us, doesn't exist. And then we do see that, well, how do I get the rights associated with the status that the founders had?
Well, by the way, the call-in number today is 800-313-9443. We'll hope to get through a lot of calls today. But if I showed you, John, both through statutes, codes, laws, and court cases, where this idea of free consent or contracting into a different status seems to involve sleight of hand and fraud.
I would believe sleight of hand and fraud from our government.
How binding do you think that statutory construction would be then?
I would think it's not binding, because if it was done through fraud, let's just go the opposite way. The only way to pass a legitimate law in this nation is constitutionally. It has to not be repugnant to the Constitution. And to say that there were laws passed in this country which bound us to an inferior status, not of our consent, not of our free consent, to where we knowingly knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, well, see, that was the genius of it, is they did it under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, just and proper exclusive jurisdiction of Congress. They had to get everybody to be a District of Columbia citizen,
right,
to get that to happen. So let's see what Jeff has on his mind today. Jeff, how about joining us?
Hi, yes, indeed. How's it going?
Good.
Good,
well,
Jeff.
I have two subjects, and I'm going to combine them together. You'll like this. The Iraq War. I read in the Boston Herald newspaper that the war in the Middle East will go on for another 12 years. So I'm thinking, what we're going to get out of the Middle East is refugees. We're not going to gain anything by being in the Middle East fighting the war on terror. Now, I'm thinking with this eminent domain thing that they just passed in the Supreme Court, I'm thinking the refugees, they're going to come to this country, they're going to shove good homeowners out to build projects to put these refugees into.
Well, yeah, let's deal with this Supreme Court ruling on eminent domain right off the bat.
Yes.
I got a few minutes last Thursday to talk to John about it before I lost cell service on my travels, but the Supreme Court made the right ruling.
Really?
Absolutely.
Because here's the way I look at eminent domain. If I own a house, I would not want my house, I would not want to be shoved out of my house. So,
okay, but
so
hold on. Okay, you've already made the wrong assumption. You've assumed you own your house. Okay, if you look at Senate document 43 from 1933, it says all property resides in the state and we are mere users. When you register your property with the state, you put it into a public trust, and the state can sue to protect your title, or they can obviously do what they want with it, and I'll guarantee you that the plaintiff, lady who went in there to protect her home, never declared herself as a citizen of the U.S. of A. or of any state with rights. She went as a U.S. citizen. And, John, what is the only right a U.S. citizen has?
Well, according to the federal courts and the federal court case of U.S. versus Valentine, the only absolute and unqualified right of a United States citizen is to residence within the territorial boundaries of the United States.
So if you have no rights, which you don't have a U.S. citizen, and the city wants your property or the state, whatever, that they own anyway, the Supreme Court made the right ruling. Now, we can't go get all upset about the ruling until we understand the game we're playing. You have to know the rules. and attorneys are absolutely forbidden from challenging the jurisdiction of the court or bringing in status or any of these other issues. So there is no big thing about refugees or conspiracies related to that. We're talking about a 140-year history of converting people into citizens of the U.S., domiciled in D.C., resident in the states, and if you go into court, they say, where do you reside? Well, I reside in North Carolina. They didn't ask me where I was a citizen or where I was domiciled. So we've got to understand that this is a 140-year absolute plan to convert us into non-persons with no rights, that we're simply there to provide our commercial energy into making the banks very successful and accomplishing the neocolonialism that this country's practicing by getting into wars that are not of interest to the state. We were never threatened by Saddam.
Oh, of course not.
I think Jeff has a point in the fact of that this war is going to do nothing but create refugees. I mean, that's what every war in the past has proven to be.
But the depleted uranium is going to kill them off pretty fast.
but let me throw out a dimension to that. We're going to be taking care of the refugees when they come here with depleted uranium poisoning. So that'll be a double whammy on the taxpayers.
We're already doing it over there for them now. I mean, let's face it. Citibank and crew went over there and created lots of fiat currency to establish banking over there and trading in oil futures. And this whole thing is commerce. It's not a government acting under the free will of the people.
Hey, Danny, can you hang up the phone, please? They're just my friend picking up the phone. Sorry about that. But anyhow, as far as what's going on in the Middle East and as far as this eminent domain thing is concerned, Don't you smell a little bit of fascism coming to this country? Or?
Absolutely. It's the Communist Manifesto fully implemented.
Right. I think one way to look at this also is that most people are thinking that Americans have individual rights. And what you're seeing in this Supreme Court ruling is that the individual rights are not to be respected. What is to be respected are the communal rights. It's the rights of the community.
You're right.
If we can seize your property to the benefit of the community,
the collective,
then that's okay. And so you see just another twist here that we've gone from a nation originally founded upon individual rights, which resided in the states and with, you know, the individual states.
The Tenth Amendment.
To communal rights. Which what's the root word or what is communal the root word of?
Communism.
Which is communism, and we see it happening before our very eyes.
And what
is the purpose of the 14th Amendment as proposed by its author, John? Reverse the character and
reverse the origin and character of American citizenship.
And deal with that pestilent heresy known as states' rights.
Right. Rid this nation of that was said by James G. Blaine, who was a radical Republican from this wonderful state I'm residing in at the moment. I declare my citizenship.
We've taken a snapshot in time of a ruling, whether it be the Ten Commandments or the eminent domain, and we're saying, wait a minute, what happened to our rights? Well, they got taken away back in 1868. When the South was reconquered during a time of peace and forced to put the 14th Amendment through that did away with the 9th and 10th Amendments and got us Roe v. Wade and got us the separation of church and state and got us all these situations. And if you look at it in a long timeline, everything makes sense. But when you look at an individual ruling that disturbs your worldview, then you get upset. No, let's not get upset over one event. Let's go after the root cause. Our elected officials violated their sacred trust and oath to do what a government was supposed to do, which is protect our rights. Instead, they tricked us into becoming U.S. citizens, giving up our rights, becoming chattel property for the debts of the nation. Eric, you got about 30 seconds before we go to break. Let's hold you over because I hear the music. And we'll be back. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. It's Ed and John today without the benefit of the master, John Stadtmiller. And remember to call in and make a pledge so we can keep bringing you this information.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With all the junk food, fast food, and pre-cooked meals out there, do people actually consume the nutrients that will improve their health? Everyone starts with good intentions. A few pills here, a glass of juice there, but what about an entirely new approach to wellness? What about a brand new market of nutrient delivery? Triathletes and marathon runners often down small packets of gel, providing a timely blast of energy. And why couldn't this exact system work for daily consumption of vitamins and minerals? It can. Through suspension gel technology, our daily nutrients can be taken anywhere, quickly and easily. Think about it. No glasses, no supersized pills, no waterlogged juices, no ineffective sprays and creams, just pure, concentrated nutrients in an easy-to-take, rapidly absorbed, taste-bud-busting gel. You squeeze in your mouth. A great way to get your daily nutrients. For more information to improve your health, call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055. Or go on the web at together.ws.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays. Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the National Intel Report. We're out right now on 12.160 on your shortwave dial. Call-in number is 800-313-9443. And Eric in California, we didn't quite get to you before the break there, so come on in and let's see what you have to say.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, my prayers to John for a quick recovery.
Right.
Well, that's why I wanted to get out to people that it seemed he was recovering nicely, except for the broken ribs. It was all superficial. I talked to his wife, Sandy, before the show, and she wanted everybody to know he should get out of the hospital tomorrow, and a few prayers will help him heal even quicker.
God bless him. What I called about was I was in bankruptcy court yesterday.
Okay.
I've been in bankruptcy court for the last 8 months, arguing over venue.
Okay.
My own attorney has blocked me from actually being heard and making a proper venue statement. He didn't make one. The appointed trustee has blocked me. She's now filed a motion, this goes back several months, accusing me of making false statements and of forum shopping, requested, filed a motion for relief from the bankruptcy court from me as the petitioner. She hired her husband as her counsel. You know, and she's pointed by the U.S. trustee as the executor of the estate trust. She's supposed to be neutral. She's supposed to guard over.
Is this 13 or 7?
7, liquidation.
Okay, well, see, 7, you got a problem because then the trustee is working for the creditors.
Well, but in this situation, she still has statutory rights and protections. She's supposed to guard over and protect both the creditors and the debtors and make sure that they get what they're due under the bankruptcy laws.
Yeah, but see, even under 7, they don't have to file a Form B-10. If you had a chance, I mean, you can do a conversion to 13 now.
Well, no, because I've lost everything. I'm down to, they've stripped me. I'm a federal officer, went to a military academy, and a lot of the players involved, there's insurance companies, there's shipping companies, and, you know, Department of Homeland Security and others, they've kept me in the
court. Oh, you're the guy who was the merchant.
Yeah, the merchant marine.
There you go. I've heard your story.
Well,
okay.
Check this out. She even brought this up because under the bankruptcy court is a part of the district court system.
Actually, it only is if you don't go in and get your status proper. Got to remember, the bankruptcy court is under the original Constitution. The states gave up their ability to deal with bankruptcy and surrendered that to the government.
Right, and the district court is part of the federal district court system.
Actually, the bankruptcy court is separate if you set it up properly.
Okay, well, I'm just going from all the research, everything I've checked out. But the federal rules of civil procedure that apply therein, and the bankruptcy rules are special rules of the federal rules of civil procedure. The Suits and Admiralty Act married admiralty and general maritime law to the federal rules of civil procedure, and they're supposed to supersede the federal rules of civil procedure and the special bankruptcy rules. I brought this up yesterday as to admiralty and my right to, you know, if there's a jury trial pending in the case that you're supposed to be able to have this heard at bar, issues of arbitration, all this other stuff, tried to even get any of this junk into the court. And when I brought up admiralty, her answer to me was, you're not a ship.
Yeah, and there again, I know a lot of people, you know, want to go down the admiralty jurisdiction versus the equity versus whatever. We don't want to get too deep into a bankruptcy issue today because it's a little bit narrow and specialized. But, again, believe it or not, it's about status. And if you don't set it up right and declare, and but I do know something about bankruptcy myself, you have to put the trustee on notice and the court that you are coming in as a lawful citizen of the U.S. of A. and that you're coming in under a constitutional bankruptcy, not the corporate bankruptcy. And, you know, I don't want to go into how to do that, but by and large, you can actually do some wonderful things in bankruptcy because it's simply a sub-bankruptcy of the United States bankruptcy.
Well, and it's supposed to be like a court of last resort, so that if, say, you're in court and you have a jury trial or a right to a jury trial, that you're not denied that because that is a constitutional right by being bankrupted through the process.
And yeah, like I say, the problem with 7 is that you give up a lot just by going into 7. Because the trustee immediately works on behalf of the creditors instead of the debtors. So, Eric, let's get to someone else. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, man.
Let's see how much time we have here. Donna, let's get started, and we may just have to hold you over.
Hi, Ed. I was just concerned about our piece of property. We only have a couple of years in which it's going to be paid off, and you know it's much coveted in the area we live in.
For everyone out there, Donna's calling from Massachusetts.
Yes, I am. And, you know, we are right on a protected body of water on the aquifer, and we've had developers come down here and wanting to buy it, yada, yada, yada. And I'm wondering, can we get it into a private trust of some kind to protect it from?
Well, that actually doesn't matter. Okay?
Really?
If it's a trust. A trust is simply viewed as another person, okay? A trust has certain commercial entity would just be considered another person. The issue is, and I'll go over this real quickly, not put a belabor to a great deal, and actually we only have about 30 seconds. Let's hold you over, Donna, and we'll talk about that a little bit after the break. This is the National Intel Report. Ed Waller and John Ainsworth sitting in for the great John Statmiller today. Call in 800-313-9443, broadcasting 12.160 on the shortwave dial until the next hour. We'll be back in a few.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Listen to what Cocoon GH has done for another satisfied user.
I've been meaning to let you good people know about my fantastic results after using the Cocoon GH for only a few weeks. Before I started using GH, I had severe pain in my right shoulder, to the point of not being able to take off my shirt. But within the first few days of using GH, I realized the pain was dramatically reduced. I could not believe it. I thought I was bluffing myself. Within another week, I had full use of my shoulder. The pain was nearly all gone. Also, my graying hair is about 75% less now, to my surprise. I have a lot better energy now. I feel like I can do a lot more. I have more will to go on and make life wonderful in my golden years. I started a physical fitness program because I feel so good. I have get up and go like when I was younger. I am really thankful for this product and will continue using it from now on.
Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
This is the National Intel Report. Ed and John sitting in for John Stettmiller. Going to try and get to as many of your calls today as possible to keep this thing varied and fast moving. Donna, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Over the next couple months, we're going to be talking about some of this stuff that deals with property, because in the seminar I went to a couple weeks ago, this was a hot topic. But let me just give you an idea of how this happened. You surrendered your right, title, and interest to that property when you registered it with the state or the county, as it were, your register of deeds in your county, okay? And you can say, well, how could I do that? And the way it was done is by voluntary acts. There is a case, which I have before me, known as In re Metter, from August 24th, 1869. But John and I talk about that period of 1868 quite a bit, because that's when a lot of changes occurred, both in the banking, financial, legal, constitutional, and sovereignty status of the states. But here's what the Supreme Court judge had to say. This is a case dealing with some revenue collection and a midnight raid by some taxing authorities, and the Metters, who are the plaintiffs in this case, are coming and saying, hey, this is repugnant to the Constitution, but just listen to this.
Okay.
Quote, and here a thought suggests itself. As the Metters, subsequently to the passage of this act of July 20th, 1868, the Taxing Act was passed July 20th, 1868, John, when did most of the new southern states come into being?
July of 1868 is when they started coming.
July 1st. So within 20 days, Congress is already passing new taxing authority. Anyway, apply for and obtain from the government a license or permit to deal in manufactured tobacco, snuff, and cigars. I am inclined to be of the opinion that they are, by this, their own voluntary act. The judge is not saying they had to get a license. He's saying by your own voluntary act, precluded from assailing the constitutionality of this law or otherwise controverting it. For the granting of a license or permit, dash, the yielding of a particular privilege and its acceptance by the metters was a contract in which it was implied that the provisions of the statute which governed or in any way affected their business and all other statutes previously passed, which were in pari materia with those provisions, should be recognized and obeyed by them. When the metters sought and accepted the privilege, the law was before them. In other words, it was there for them to read. And can they now impugn its constitutionality or refuse to obey its provisions and stipulations and so exempt themselves from the consequences of their own acts? What this means, Donna, is the law is out there. I know here in North Carolina there is no state requirement to register property when you purchase it. They can't force you to contract. But when you hire an attorney, which right. is part of the bar, which is part of the whole mess, yep. and he goes and registers your property for you, you have surrendered any claim to it. You can't fight the constitutionality of your surrender, of how the state deals with the trusteeship of that property. And it can be fixed. Because remember, anything you contract into, you can do what?
Contract out.
Okay, and I hope to be John and I hope to be bringing up some of this stuff to find some remedies. There are remedies in the law. You're not under attack now, so you have some time to kind of listen up and, yes. and call back in when you need clarification on some of the information we'll present to you. But I just want 1869, folks. The That's Supreme right. Court is already saying, "Hey, you voluntarily contracted into an agreement with the government." Where you accepted a privilege, did the metters need to go get a license or permit to deal in tobacco? Absolutely not.
And so the legal principle that they're saying without saying mm-hmm. is that if you have a problem with the constitutionality of a law that requires a license or requires any action, before you to get the license or take that action, you need to challenge the constitutionality of the act. But if you do the action or get the license, you've acquiesced into the acceptance of the law. And so it's a timing thing of when do you declare the an act or when do you challenge the constitutionality of an act. And what the court is saying is on the face of the law, not once you've agreed by contract, by getting a license that you're going to act a certain way, and then you don't act that way and you get busted.
That's simple.
And then you
want to
say, oh, it's unconstitutional.
Sure.
And they're saying, no, the proper place to do it is to don't get the license and challenge the constitutionality of it when they say you're required to have the license.
Donna, thank you for your call. We're going to move on to John in Michigan.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm getting away from my radio.
Thank you. That echo was cool, but only for a rock band.
Okay. What was going to pertain to proper purchasing of land. And up here in northern Michigan, we had quite a surge for people to update their land patents, but that still didn't give them protection because of what you just explained.
Correct. What you actually have to do is go in and challenge the state's authority to take private land under contract or force you to accept a commercial designation for that land. And like I said, I don't really want to get into that. There's ways of doing it using the Administrative Procedures Act within your state. But if you go read your statutes, you're going to see that this all came under the, what was the act in 1930, John? The land registration, not the Torrens Act, but the...
I don't know.
Came out of Australia. One of our callers, I'm sure, will talk about it. But all this land registration started in 1929. By 1931, all the states were on it, and it came out of Australia. And if you look at the bonding rate in your county, you'll find out how much the county or the city has leaned up your property. Most counties now are at 50% or better.
In other words,
if you have a $100,000 piece of land, they've borrowed at least $50,000 against your land.
Oh, that would probably show up in their that CAFRA, the Confidential Annual Financial Report.
Just go talk to your risk management or the tax collector. He can tell you what the bonding rate is for your city or county, and simply ask him, where did they get the authority to put your property in jeopardy in a lien? And if he's honest with you, he'll say, when you registered it, a voluntary act by you, which is a contract.
Right. But my concern is, now if you do not register it, are you liable for taxes on it?
No. Okay. Taxes is the fee for the state maintaining an interest in protecting your title.
Oh, okay. So that if everything, all your ducks are in order, then you should be able to. What does the land patent have? No value at all, or?
Oh, absolutely. It's the underlying grant of a perfected interest in the property. The problem is it has been. Remember, I said time, space, place, and plane.
Mm-hmm.
That the patent is at the bottom of it, and what has been piled on top of it by previous owners is grant of title to the state by registration.
Okay.
And you'd have to go fix that. Like I say, that's deeper than we want to get into. Only what we want people to know is that they've been schnookered.
Oh, of course. We've been schnookered from the get-go.
And the same thing happens when you register your vehicle. Ralph Winterroad has been a guest on this show, talks about in Article 9 of the UCC, registration is a transfer of title.
Exactly.
Okay, so all this stuff is being done in commerce. It's actually being done in front of your noses. And when you sign on the bottom line, you're contracting or giving your assent to a voluntary act to accept all this mess they've put us into.
One more quick question.
Sure.
If you pay for it with Federal Reserve notes. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is there any claim there? Does the Federal Reserve have any claim on it? Because it wasn't paid?
No. Don't go there. The bottom line is if two parties, a buyer and a seller, agree to a transaction, they can accept any form of payment that the two parties agree
to. Okay. Well, that I wanted to clarify.
Don't go down that road.
That makes sense.
All kinds of conspiracy theories on that. By the way, the law says barring agreement of the parties. If you look at 3103 under Title 28, I believe it is, if you two agree to do it in coffee beans, that's every bit as legal.
And if there's a manufacturer certificate that comes with the car that the dealer sent to the state, is that...
Well, actually, the dealer commits fraud when he registers that vehicle in your name with the state.
Okay.
And there's action there. Again, don't want to go into that. We want to keep this thing moving. If we can, thanks for your call,
yes.
John, and stay tuned because hopefully we'll have more solutions for you. And the next caller is LB, and I wonder if we know who that person is.
Hello,
LB.
Yes.
Is this the person I talked to earlier today?
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay.
How many LBs can there be out there?
I didn't think too many from Wisconsin.
Yeah. In regard to the last caller and what you stated, Ed, the case of Thornton v. Smith, which is a post-Civil War case, goes over the currency that can be used. It was about a guy that purchased some land during the Civil War with Confederate notes and basically.
Okay, but that's a very special case of Confederate notes.
Right, but
okay.
What the court ruled is it was the currency of the realm, and it did pay for the property. So
absolutely,
it's exactly what you just stated. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Well, there's some other case law dealing with that mm-hmm. specifically talks about the convertibility of Confederate notes into another form. And I think, John, you actually know a lot about that case, right?
Is that Texas?
Texas v. White, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did the court find there?
Well, that was a case where, the state of Texas, which had gotten a bond before the war, had cashed it in, and they were trying to figure out whether the state of Texas was in actuality a state of the American Union that had authority to to cash in the bond, or was it a group of insurgents in rebellion? And that's the famous case where the Supreme Court came out and basically said we have an indestructible union composed of indestructible states, which was a philosophy of the time which came out just in this little, you know, 5-year time period of our history, that we have an indestructible union composed of indestructible states. But even that was a perversion under the Lincoln administration and the 39th Congress, the subsequent 39th Congress after the war, in that they fought the war saying that we have indestructible states, but when the war was over, Congress said it had the authority to destroy the states
which they
and
did
create new states. So, you know.
Isn't that special?
That we feel real special in the South over that one.
Yeah. I'm in the North, and I still feel special about it, you know? Anyway, that same case, Thornton v. Smith, was interesting because it was the court went into this dissertation about de facto government, and it was the definition that was used in Black's Law Dictionary, 6th edition. And that's one of the definitions that opened my eyes. The court was actually saying that the states were de facto. And they were controlled, by a military power of the United States. So
it's all there for those who want to see. Now, John and I's take on that is that you shouldn't have to go read 50 U.S. titles, which occupy 138 feet of shelf space or something. You shouldn't have to research for years to understand the law. And, you know, for our children's sake, we want to challenge them properly with our Supreme Court case to say you may have done it in a legal sense that you tricked everybody to becoming U.S. citizens under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, but where did you not lie or violate the public trust by even taking such an action?
I would even argue that they did it, you know, legally, you know, in a deceptive manner. These guys did it absolutely illegally. I forgot exactly the word I was going to use when I first started.
Usurpation?
Well, it was a usurpation. This was not done. The 39th Congress had no authority to do these things. And they just did it. They exercised the power and did it, you know, without the consent of the people.
Yep, and then when certain properly positioned parties challenged the Supreme Court failed the people back in the Civil War era, and with the insular cases and the switch in time cases in the 30s and 40s, they failed the people again by changing us into something we were never intended to be. But the people are learning, they're waking up, and there is remedy for those who know how to assert it, and thankfully, we've got RBN and John's hard work to make this conversation available. So anyone who wants to call in and help with that with some pledges on our pledge drive, 800-724-2719, and I'll give the address a little bit later. LB, let us keep going down the call list here. We've got a bunch of people backed up, and I sure appreciate your call today and good talk to you again.
Can I make one more comment? Just
sure,
a short
quickly,
one on the bankruptcy person that called in?
Yeah.
Under God's law, of course, everyone's looking for the common law remedy and venue. It's my belief that the bankruptcy only applies to the legal fiction that people believe exists under the 14th Amendment. It's a benefit of the system. And under God's law, of course, everyone's responsible for their debt to another person. So,
okay, only if it's a lawful debt and there was actually money loaned, which we all know doesn't happen.
Of course.
Everything's hypothecated.
Sure. Anyway, I'll let you go. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, LB.
Good work.
John, there's not much time before the break we'll have to get to Betty in North Carolina, one of our, well, she's probably a state citizen, unlike us, that are part of the original republic. You and I have talked a lot about other states besides the South.
Right.
And what are your current thoughts on what is available to them?
Well, number one, it's put out the problem of what are the different statuses, and there's fundamentally three statuses, and that is the states that were just outrightly violated by the Reconstruction Acts, which were annulled. supposedly annulled by acts of Congress called the Reconstruction Acts. Those are the states that are most have what I consider the easiest remedy laid before them of just reclaiming what was unlawfully taken from you. But then you have the states that were in the Union at the time, and how did Reconstruction affect them? Which, again, Reconstruction was the implementation of the 14th Amendment, which was the implementation of the Civil Rights Act, which created the U.S. citizen, supposedly created the U.S. citizen. It could only create it if Congress had the authority to create that status. And then you've got the other states that entered the Union after Reconstruction. And what do you do with them? And it's really going to deal with when was the status of the body politic officially changed.
All right, I hear the music. We'll take a break. Betty and Russ, we'll get to you as quick as we can.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With all the junk food, fast food, and pre-cooked meals out there, do people actually consume the nutrients that will improve their health? Everyone starts with good intentions. A few pills here, a glass of juice there, but what about an entirely new approach to wellness? What about a brand new market of nutrient delivery? Triathletes and marathon runners opting down small packets of gel, providing a timely blast of energy. And why couldn't this exact system work for daily consumption of vitamins and minerals? It can. Through suspension gel technology, our daily nutrients can be taken anywhere, quickly and easily. Think about it. No glasses, no supersized pills, no waterlogged juices, no ineffective sprays and creams, just pure, concentrated nutrients in an easy-to-take, rapidly absorbed, taste-bud-busting gel. You squeeze in your mouth. A great way to get your daily nutrients. For more information to improve your health, call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055. Or go on the web at together.ws.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities, the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
John Ainsworth and Ed Waller here today, sitting in for John Statmiller while he recuperates. The pledge drive is continuing. We need your help, folks. We're getting good calls in today. Hopefully we're talking about things you're not going to hear anyplace else. We need to keep this venue open for these discussions. So call in. We need some help. We're about $9,000 short on our bill paying this month. Call in to 800-724-2719, extension 116, 800-724-2719, extension 116. Or you can send your check or money order RBN, 1015 South Mays, M-A-Y-S, Suite 100, in beautiful Round Rock, Texas. 78664 is your federal zone zip code. We need your help, folks. John's put his stock and trade up front here to get this done, and we need some contributions to help us pay the bills.
Yeah, there's a lot of us out there that really, really push and say, you know, we appreciate what RBN and venues like this do. And these venues can't stay in place unless they're supported. I mean, we're going up against huge, huge corporations out there, huge media, that's going against everything, that we believe in. And if we want to have, freedom back in this country, we really do need to support the people that are sticking their necks out and putting their lives and property out on the line for us. So.
Well, like one of my favorite quotes I got from you, John, is, "It sure as heck isn't easy and it's not safe, so we must be doing it for a higher purpose."
Right.
For those of you listening on shortwave, at the top of the hour, we will be going over to 7.466 for the second hour of the National Intel Report. Betty, let's get started. We'll see how much we can get done before the top of the hour. Come on in.
Good. Thank you so much for putting me on. You said at the beginning that you're going to talk on eminent domain and also on the Ten Commandments. And we've been on eminent domain. I'd like to just put in a little bit on the Ten Commandments on civil property.
Okay. Do you want to hear that from us, or do you have comments?
Well, in particular, if you'll comment on how the inalienable rights talked about in the Declaration of Independence, that they are endowed, how does that back up the Ten Amendments in the Bill of Rights? Can you have one without, you know?
Well, you can have both, but you have to have a proper status. If you are a U.S. citizen, and you get to be a U.S. citizen by a number of ways, by filling out an SS-5 and getting a Social Security number and putting U.S. citizen on it. There's a box to check, U.S. citizen. When you apply for a passport and say you're a U.S. citizen, when you go to the post office, when you register at 18 for the draft or whatever the selective service thing now, you say you're a U.S. citizen. When you fill out your driver's license and put U.S. citizen, when you vote to be elect to be a voter and put U.S. citizen, as soon as you do that, you give up all your rights. Now, again, now that's why I read that Free Metter case. Those were voluntary acts that you contracted into a jurisdiction, surrendering rights, coming under a statutory jurisdiction. Let's talk about the Bill of Rights. The Ten Commandments issue and the separation of church and state. Prior to the Civil War, it was well understood that there was no separation of church and state doctrine at the state level. That didn't come in until the 14th Amendment was passed, which the 14th Amendment, coupled with Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, where Congress can make all necessary laws for those territories within the exclusive jurisdiction, Washington, D.C., the citizens of D.C. are protected by the separation of church and state under the First Amendment. Prior to that, with the 9th and 10th Amendments being in full force and effect, the states did establish religions. Our Constitution in North Carolina was very clear about that. The purpose of the First Amendment was to keep the feds from trumping the state's creation of a religion. So if you're a 14th Amendment citizen...
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.